Welcome, welcome, welcome,
all what's of you
crazy,
up?
Crazy I Thursday tell you Warriors.
What's up?
I said, what's up?
What's up with that?
Right. Yeah. So,
it's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
So, yeah.
And I went to see Thor today. How about that shit? We'll talk about that at the end of the episode, just so people don't get too crazy here. Yeah, we're sorry we missed everybody last week. Just stuff came up, we couldn't make it, and we apologize. We missed you all of you.
Yes,
especially Ron. Back. You know what? Ron wouldn't have been able to go anyway because he was too busy at AnthroCon. No, AnthroCon. No. So don't think I didn't see you at AnthroCon, bro. So, but yeah, man, furry weekend. It was awesome. Couldn't go downtown without attempting roadkill. It's great.
You were at furry weekend?
No, no.
Oh, I was going to say, what furry were you?
Oh, I mean, I would go just to hang out. I have a lot of friends who are furries. I don't care. What else?
No, I know. I was just wondering if you went, what furry...
It's just really, really warm cosplay.
if you did go,
oh, as in like, if I would be a furry, I would be, some kind of like tiger, like Shere Khan. Like I could just rock tiger ears and a tail. I would do it.
So I know what I would be.
Only because I would not want to sweat my balls off in those suits because they're really hot.
So I would be a blue sexy fox, and I would be wearing like just the blue furry costume and then the swim trunks that Daniel Craig wore in his first James Bond. That would be nice. What I would be.
Yep. Nice. Yeah, I'm not a super hardcore cosplay guy, but I like it. Like, it's a lot of fun, and you know what, it brings like 90,000 people to Pittsburgh. Bring it on. Like, yeah. Let it roll. It's awesome.
Yeah.
We're very excited about it. Which then leads us into a discussion Tim and I were having right before the show kicked off.
Yeah, I guess it kind of does.
So we're talking about Beast Boy, right? Yeah. And you said how does he do it if like his brain is not like, does his brain shift?
Deathstroke. Deathstroke went to shoot him in the head. And he's like, I wanted to blow his brains out. He's like, but I wasn't sure with all the animals that he changes into if his brains were in his head.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that spurred the conversation, which then led me down a very long rabbit hole of things he has changed into. Right.
Yes.
Both animated and not. So some of the things that would suggest maybe his brain is not in his head were starfish, octopi, because I believe theirs are not in their like the top part. They're more like on the bottom. And then we got into like other things like dinosaurs. So then I shifted my question to you of, is Beast Boy legitimately tied only to creatures, or is he just whatever he is? He just a changeling and he just chooses to only do creatures? And then I guess the other part would be like, if he was on an alien planet, would he then be able to sync up with their aliens? Like the alien animals there to do that, and or one of the aliens themselves, since he would be.
I know the answer.
Okay, go for it.
It's whatever he wants to be. And the only reason I say this is because he has clothes on.
Fair.
And then changes into an animal. Unless you're doing the crappy live action Titan show. Then he has to walk around a corner, take his clothes off, change into a tiger and only a tiger, and then when he changes back. But yeah, I would say since he changes with his clothes into that and then back to him with his clothes on, that he's changes into whatever he wants.
So you think he's more, you're on the, he's more of a street changeling kind of route.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I could buy that, but like,
that's just his shtick, you know, his animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, you know, looking at the dinosaur ends, we're like, we now know that those don't look like that. Like they don't look like Jurassic Park 1. They look like, I don't know if the newest movie actually had them with feathers or not. Mostly because I don't care about that franchise anymore, but whatever. Thoughts? Who and what is Beast Boy? What do you guys think? You let us know. All right. So, as you guys know, a couple weeks ago, I got to go to Heroes Con. My first time there. It's freaking awesome. It is. So the way I said this to somebody was like, so if Heroes Con is the eldest brother, right? Baltimore is the next youngest brother. And then we are like, our show is like the wee baby brother of those shows. Because it's like, oh yeah, we have this square footage of this giant freaking show. But it was awesome, man. Like I loved it. I'm going to show you guys real quick some of the comics I got, only because I already hung up all the original art, but it was really cool. If you see Tim, you can ask him to show him the picture of me with Daniel Warren Johnson, because I was doing that. So I got a metal cover of Baby Teeth number one. It's so metal. So metal. Oh, what is the name of this book? I can't remember. It just came out. This was the retailer exclusive David Mack cover, but it's in metal. Look how shiny it is.
Yeah, that's cool. So,
I almost bought the regular cover just because it's that cool. And then Metal Shark Bro, volume 2, number 1. There we go.
Nice.
Signed by the creative team. I'm working on trying to get them on the show. They're only in Ohio, so it's kind of cool. And then I bought two pricey books. The first one I bought is already in a box. That was my Green Lantern 7 I upgraded. Pulled it open, checked and looked through it, because the original one that I bought had like a big water stain through it. And this dude had it priced at the same price as somebody who had it graded. So I was like, well, I want to flip through it and see how it is. So I flipped through it, counted the pages, checked everything, made sure there was no water stains. And it was a good upgrade from the one I got. So I picked that up. I did the same thing with this bad boy when I picked it up. So, nice. Yes. But anyway, I spent way too much money. It was pretty rough, but a lot of fun. So.
I think I have the picture.
You have it at the ready?
I have it at the almost the ready.
Almost the ready?
See if that poops. Why is that not?
I was going to take one with Justin Mason, but I forgot.
It's uploading. I had to wait for it.
What? You can't just like open up the... Oh, you know what? I could probably do that.
I was doing it from my phone.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if I can find...
Okay.
My version 2. I doubt it, because my iCloud is very full.
That was... Mine was not full, but I don't know why it's not uploading to my iPad.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. What is this? Preview. That one. Boom.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And I bought the
Yes, you did.
Some awesome ash cans. I bought myself a Duo Powerbomb pin. It was a lot of fun. He's a great dude. If you guys ever get a chance to meet him, check him out. At some point we'll try to get him to the show, but I can't promise anything.
I imagine he
posted. I don't even have dates yet.
Yeah. Like that all the time.
Yeah, he did. So it was super crazy. So like I got there at open. So they do this thing where it's a 3-day show. It's $25 a day, or you can pay $50 and get a 3-day pass and early entry every day. So it's like, duh, why don't you pay the $50?
Yeah.
So Friday, we get there. The line is huge. And we get in, like, they start letting people in a half hour early. By the time we actually got in there, it was only like 10 minutes till open because the line was that long. I walked kind of like near his booth, kind of early on. And his line was insane, like insane. Yeah. So every couple hours, I just come by and see. At around like 3 o'clock, I was like, I need to eat. So I like go over to the concession stand and I sit down at the table and I could see his booth. And I'm like, all right, there's one guy, just one. And so I waited till like I left and then I walked over. So. Nice. And it was good. I sent him like, you know, he obviously can't put a price on the ash cans. He just, you know, says whatever and send me whatever. Yeah. So I PayPal'd him a bunch of money. It was a good time. Like, he's super nice. I love that dude a lot. Justin was great too. I actually bought a page from him from Spider-Punk 2. It's page 11.
Nice.
And then I bought a page from Dear Becky. I think it's Dear Becky 4 from Russ Braun. And I like it because it's got a sleeping terror on it. And I'm slowly trying to ease my wife into letting me hang it downstairs once I get it framed. Because sleeping terror is really cute. It's a cute puppy.
Listen, I just want to say this is a sports-related thing I want to say. But it's a really cool sports-related thing.
Okay.
The third player drafted it tonight in the NHL to the Arizona Coyotes. His name was Logan Cooley, and he's from West Mifflin.
Wow.
Highest.
That's awesome.
Pennsylvania born player. He started in Sidney Crosby's like junior SIDS program, which is like he gives like equipment to people who maybe couldn't afford it so they could learn to play. And then he decided to stab us in the back and become an Ovechkin fan. Have fun in Arizona, you idiot. All right.
Continuing on. I also got a sweet recreation page from Mike Lilly from his Detective 1000 that he did for The Vault. And nice. Super good. Hold on. I'm trying to find my Spider-Punk 2 because I have it sitting here. I just need to go through my stack of stuff that I haven't read yet. Don't mind the giant stack of comic books, guys. There it is. Okay. Let me see if I can find the page here real quick and show you guys which one it is. But I really enjoyed it because it has Spider-Punk plus the Punisher plus this one here. Right there.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Right.
That's the page you got.
Sweet Taskmaster. Yep.
Nice.
So I own the original art from that page. Fucking sweet.
That's awesome. So,
yeah. All right. I guess we should go into comic reviews since we've blown 15 minutes already.
Yep.
Since you have 3 and I have 2, do you want to go first?
Yes. I just need to know, do you want my worst pick of the week or should I save that for last?
You know what? Go with your worst.
All right. We're going to go.
I really enjoyed both of mine.
We're going to go with my worst pick. Let me get this set up here for you. And this is also, not only is it my worst pick, but it is my fart of the week, week. This is the second issue of Dark Crisis, and it is also just as dumb as the first one. In the first one, I reviewed it. They killed Nightwing. He got blown up point blank. They shot Changeling, Beast Boy, right in the face. Deathstroke did, killed him. And where does this one start with? It starts with Nightwing's not dead. It's like, whoa, Nightwing, you survived. And Deathstroke shows up and he's like, hey, I thought maybe you'd want this. And he drags Beast Boy out and he throws him out. And I guess Beast Boy is alive. And he's like, I shot him right through the face. He's probably going to leave a scar. And I'm like, you guys can't, they can't decide what they want to do. And then you have Deathstroke with this stupid tattoo on the side of his head and his mohawk. Like, he's not 82. Like, come on, dude. So this was a really
cool. Did they design that Deathstroke after like the one from the end of Justice League? Like the movie Justice League?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. It does have that kind of like feel to it, but this was a kind of a cool moment. He throws down with Nightwing. He's like, let's go, you and me, round one. And Nightwing whoops the shit out of him. And after he beats the crap out of him, Deathstroke's like, hey, you won round one. Which one of your students would you like to fight, to have fight me in round two? And he's like, so you're just not going to stop unless you get to kill me. And he's like, fine. If you let everybody go, you can kill me. And he's like, let's just get it over with, you piece of crap. So boom, kills him. Now this is the one cool moment of this issue. The one cool moment. He shoots him. And Jonathan Kent has that classic Superman moment where he shows up like right at the right time, in the nick of time, to stop the bullet.
That's awesome.
And he's like, oh, now you what, Slade? Like, we're gonna beat the crap out of you. And he's like, you think I didn't plan for this? And then Slade throws down his own Superman. Cyborg Superman.
Nice.
So Superboy, or I guess you could call him Superman now. Him and Cyborg Superman throw down for a little bit. Eventually, Jonathan Kent wins, and showing up after the fight, like an idiot, Cyborg comes up and he's like, I'm tired of you giving us bad names. And he crushes his head. And after this, this is some one of the things that drives me nuts. Black Adam shows up. He's like, I told you you wouldn't be make a good Justice League. He's like, look at everything that happened. And it's like, wait a second, were you just freaking watching while everybody got killed? He's like, I'll teach you how to be a real Justice League. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just get in there and like F people up? Like, are you telling me Black Adam wouldn't destroy Deathstroke? You know? Mm-hmm. So it was those kind of like things that are inconsistent. The feel that those guys died in the first issue and then all of a sudden they can survive gunshots to the face and blowing up while they're holding a bomb, you know, to come back this issue. It was all that stuff that just makes this two issues of a mess.
All right. Hold on. But I have the best question for the night.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best replacement of the two options? Cyborg Superman or Clor? Clone Thor.
Cyborg Superman. I always liked his look. I thought he was cool. And I have a lot of respect for him as a character from the Yellow Lantern saga. When he was a Yellow Lantern, I thought that was a cool moment for his character. So, but
really cool.
Who would you pick?
I would probably go with Cyborg Superman only because at one point he actually was a good guy. Although I guess Clor technically also did. Clor was way more fun, and kept just getting destroyed all the time. But he kept coming back. So I don't know. I think Cyborg Superman was better written and was taken more seriously, but Clor was a lot of fun. So I'm gonna go with Cyborg Superman only because he was taken more seriously. It wasn't just kind of a joke. So
yeah.
All right. Cool. My first book. Bam! She-Hulk number 4.
Nice.
So this book has been consistently awesome. I actually played a little bit of catch up, and I read the issue before it as well. So to catch everyone up to speed, Jack of Hearts still sleeping on her couch. She's still trying to get people to be her clients. Her boss doesn't want soups. She talks to Ben Grimm about one thing. Bunch of soups show up. So this book starts off with her and Titania having their fight club with Volcana, and they have their fight. Volcana wants to get in, and they're like, "No, I don't want to fight molten lava. Like, that's not fun." And the Thing shows up, not knowing that it's a fight club, and just punches the shit out of Titania. And then he's like, "Sorry, if I knew this was a fight club, I would have just asked to join instead. Why can't I join?" So then Volcana and him talk about having a fight. So anyway, Ben's her lunch meeting. So there was an issue in Fantastic Four where Thing is watching or is babysitting Lockjaw, right? And they're walking down the street, and all of a sudden he's got to go to space, so he ties Lockjaw up, and then Lockjaw just goes running off into the street, breaking whatever. So he's get the reason he needs a lawyer is because of that. Like, the city's like, "You have a ticket for doing this," and he's like, she was like, "Why didn't you just pay the ticket?" He's like, "Well, I was in space." So there's that whole thing. So she shows up at the office, and it's like Nightcrawler, Inhuman, Reed Richards, Spider-Woman, Nova, Wong, Moon Knight, Captain America, and Shang-Chi are all just sitting in the office, and she's like, "Get in my office right now." And she like crams all these dudes in there. And she's talking to Moon Knight, and she's like, "Look, I can still take your cases. I just need you to be discreet. Okay." And Moon Knight goes, "We can be discreet." And she just goes, "Can you?" And they all just kind of look at her, and then they leave. And Reed Richards stays, gives her a radioactive meter because she feels that her gamma rays are too high or a little out of whack, and they're trying to figure out if Jack of Hearts' suit is actually what contains his radioactivity or not, and why his powers are super low. So in the last issue, she talked about of taking off the outfit, which he, you know, thought was cool because it was just like he woke up one day looking like Jack of Hearts or the One-Eyed Jack, so he thought it would be fun. She shows up to talk to him in a park, not in Hulk form. And he's like, "Who the hell are you?" So that was kind of cool. They have a good talk. The whole thing is really trying to figure out what's going on with Jack and why, where he was during that time that everyone thought he was dead. At the end, there it just shows like them freaking out, and it says, "Jack of Hearts, I found you," but it doesn't tell you who it is. There was a great part of the issue 3 where when they're trying to figure out about the suit, she calls Patsy Walker, and because she's like, "Oh man, if I still had access to Avengers information, I would just, you know, do a background check on Jack Farts and get you all the information that we knew about. And somebody was like, you don't have Avengers clearance anymore. And she goes, yeah, but I know somebody. So she calls Patsy, and Patsy's like, I don't really have Avengers clearance anyway, but I'm totally dating Tony Stark. And he's like, she's like, they're talking about how hot Jack of Hearts was the whole time. And Tony's like on the other side of the bed with like these big ass headphones on, just kind of like looking like, what the hell? So it was a lot of fun. That book is super great. The art's fantastic. The writing is solid. I definitely recommend it. It's got about 2 more issues before the trade comes out. So check it out.
All right. So
what is,
here's my second, what did you set book there?
Is that a drink? Is a lime in it? Lemon?
Oh wow, it is in the, I didn't think it was a, I didn't think, oh, that it was a lemon. Shot.
Boom!
It was.
Yeah.
All right.
Bottle of hint. Taking the hint, huh?
Second book. Avengers Forever, number 7.
Forever.
This is the Steve's issue. So if you remember last issue, they're trying to get Tony Stark, the Ant-Man, and Deathlok, and Robbie Reyes are trying to get a team together to fight against Doom's like best multiversal masters of evil. And the last issue, we got introduced. They saved Black Panther. He was thrown in a sun. And so he's Star Panther. So that was last issue, ended with us getting introduced to Star Panther. This issue starts out with Steve Rogers. And he's like, hey, I don't know where I'm at. And then this other guy's like, oh, that's funny. Steve, I'm Steve too. And then we get introduced to this guy, and his name is Steve. Nope. This is Steve Rogers also. And then we get introduced to this dog, and his name is Steve. And everyone,
are they collecting Steve Rogers?
Yes. And then there's this guy, and he's like, you guys are all stupid.
Is it Poopin' Steve Rogers?
Well, sort of. He's like, you're all stupid because they're trying to rush out this door and fight something, and you don't know what it is. They just keep getting carted back in and dropped off after they get like the shit beat out of them. And he's like, I admire your guys' heart, but you're stupid. He's like, you need me. Schlink. And he gets up, and it's Steve Rogers slash Nuke
slash Wolverine.
So that's
what?
That's how much. Yeah, it's like in his universe, that's how much he was experimented on. You know?
Okay. So okay. Sure.
He's like,
sure.
I'm going to help you. So he goes in, and they go in as a team. And they totally F up shit, and they win the day. And these guys are like, congratulations, you finally won. He's like, but it only gets harder from here. And you've got, you know, Werewolf Cap and what looks to be U.S. Agent, and then little Avengers Cap and the Ape Cap. And I know this dude dressed like a knight from somewhere. I know I've seen him from something, and I couldn't figure out what it was.
Was it the one where they were in like the King Arthur's court, like the Middle Ages?
Yeah, me and Tim were thinking that that's where it was, but we couldn't find a specific page or anything. But anyway, so they're like, "Hey, you made it. You're going to be on our team if you want to be on our team." And then it cuts to these guys talking, and they're like, "We need to find some more people." And there's a Steve Rogers on Earth 49978. Who never even had a shield, but was accidentally caught in a gamma explosion. So they're going to go find a Hulk Rogers. It was a quick issue.
So
cool.
Do you remember in Avengers Volume 3 when it was like them back in like King Arthur?
Yeah, medieval times.
Yeah. The Kurt Busiek, George Perez stuff. That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay.
Earth 398. Well,
that's cool.
Jesus.
So he's Steve Irene. So it was a quick issue.
Yeoman America. That's hilarious.
It was a lot of fun. You know, watching these Steves kind of go through the paces. There's a lot more to it than just like the way I explained it, but I don't want to ruin it for anybody that's reading it. But it was a really fun issue. If you're not reading Avengers Forever, shame on you, because this book is amazing. So
fair.
People should definitely be reading Avengers Forever. So,
all right. My second book is Naughty List number 3.
I'm not also, on it.
Dude, I caught up on this too. Oh man, this book is so good. There is there was a scene in the second issue, like it's like the third or fourth page, where they go to a track and someone is running Dancer 18 or Glitzen 18 or one of them. And they meet somebody else they know there, and he's making fun of the elf. I sent a screenshot to a friend of mine. I'm just going to read it because it was so ridiculous. The guy's yelling at the elf because the elf is all kinds of shitty with him. Why are you always sarcastic and negative? I think for some reason, or someone like you, things would always be looking up, sugar plum glaze. And the elf goes, only your mom calls me that because I sugar plum glazed all over her tits last night.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this book got way cool real fast. So in the third issue, they're talking about how Rudolph isn't real. He was made up for some coloring book thing. And stockings aren't a real thing. They were made as a... it was basically like in the winter, men would put treats in their wives' stockings and socks as they dried over the fireplace. And it was like a treat for your sweet, right? Or sweet for your sweet. I don't know. So anyway, then it shifts into... the story about this chick who fucks a troll, and they end up having a awkwardly bastard child, and his name is Rochambeau. So Rochambeau then gets bullied, and he somehow ends up working at Santa Claus's his workshop. But he sucks at doing regular toys, and everybody still makes fun of him. So he put him on, after finding him having his way with a Mary Margaret doll in the storeroom, he put him on coal patrol. So basically, like, he would pack the coal in the gifts for the bad kids on the naughty list all the time. And he would even go out with them to do patrol, like to do Christmas. And he then found out at some point he was actually finding these naughty kids and basically locking them in like a loop gif of or a loop gif of their worst nightmare. And they were basically like traumatized in like a paralyzed state for the rest of their time. So he beats the shit out of him and sends him off and exiles him. And years, years, years later, you find out that the dude who paid the guy to steal the naughty machine was named Roman Seamus Beauchamp or Rochambeau. And, they pulled the license and registration form from a cop. So he then gets, like, Rochambeau gets a hooker, and he ends up killing the hooker because she's been naughty. But there's also this cool part where you find out that Santa has this ability that if he, anytime there's a liquid in the room with him, he, and it's moving, he can't, he has like a special ability where people will see their biggest Christmas memory, kind of like a snow globe, right? Mm-hmm. And like the story behind how he did it was hilarious, because it starts off, he's like, yeah, I was in the urinal and, or I was in the bathroom and blah, blah, blah. And it's like him with like a bunch, like another dude in a, like on a trough style urinal. Mm-hmm. And the other guy just started doing that. And he said, anytime people saw that, they would start to, they would like kind of be really susceptible to whatever he needed them to do. Yeah. So that's how he got the license and registration for Rochambeau. So the villain is going to be Rochambeau, and I'm pretty excited about it, because this is like the most fucking awesome. Like, it's almost as cool as Claus. Claus was awesome because it was basically like Santa Claus as the Witcher. This is more like breaking Christmas, right? This is like Breaking Bad meets Christmas, and I love it. So make sure you guys check it out. Naughty List.
It's the Naughty List. Okay. This is my book of the week. This book was amazing. And you guys are never going to guess what it is. I have so many screenshots from it, too.
A different Young Justice book.
I have so many screenshots. I even edited Good some Lord. Of the screenshots.
Is it the entire book? Jesus.
It's 19.
Wow.
It's Batman.
So you're three pages short. So
it's Chip Zdarsky's Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for this because Chip Zdarsky is awesome. And Jorge Jimenez is back. He had COVID. He's okay. So he's back, and let's get started. So this opens up first panel another time back in the day. Alfred working in the Batcave. There's this mysterious beep. This is kind of going to set up something for the end of the book. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's pretty cool and you need to read it. But this is exactly where I expected Chip Zdarsky to go in his first two pages. Batman in his underwear. It does not surprise me that this is where Chip Zdarsky went. I just had to point that out. It's Batman in his underwear. The thing that confuses me is, and I'll leave this up, is that he's texting Selina, who is living by herself and sleeping with some guy at the moment that they're texting. And I thought they got married at the end of Batman Catwoman. So unless there's something that's going to be revealed in this, I thought that they got married. And that's what that whole Batman Catwoman was about. But this is her. So
yeah, but Batman Catwoman, I don't think is in the regular continuity.
I thought it was because it was the leftover story when he got kicked off of Batman in Rebirth around issue, like, I don't know, like 70 or something. And they're like, we're going to let you finish your story out in this miniseries.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not the same continuity, though. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, cool. So I was correct in not buying it because it's Tom King and he sucks and he's stupid.
I actually just looked. I'm like, God damn it, I missed that book. So now I need to buy that book.
But yeah, first two pages, you got Batman in his underwear, Selina in her underwear. So let's get back on track here. There is somebody murdering rich people. Somebody is murdering rich people, and it is interesting because Batman is no longer, Bruce Wayne is no longer rich, but he has a lot of rich friends from when he was rich. So he's investigating this crime. He gets to this place. This guy is holding these people hostage. I love this moment because it's a very movie type moment where he's like, get away or I'll kill him, I swear to God. And then there's Batman. He's like, not God, not even close. Grabs the guy, beats him up, throws a grappling thing around his wrist, tosses him out the window so he's hanging there. And then Batman goes to check on the people that were held hostage, only to find that they're dead. So they were killed by that guy. Later, you find out that these are friends of Bruce Wayne's. He's friends with these people. So Batman goes ballistic and jumps out the window and grabs the guy. And he wants to know who sent him, because this guy is just the trigger guy. Somebody paid him to do this. Who is the guy that wants people dead? And that's when you find out that it is the Penguin. And he has this kind of thing that he has released on the TV where he tells all the people in Gotham, if you're an elite, if you were born with a silver spoon, you're going to be killed because you sit above us and you think that you're great, and you're just destroying the world while the rest of us are suffering. And it's interesting because, as Batman points out several times, Oswald was born with a silver spoon in his mouth and was born to money. So yep. It's very interesting that why would he be judging people this way? So it cuts to the Batcave. Robin shows up. He's talking with Batman.
Which Robin says is this Damian?
This is Tim Drake.
Okay.
Which is super exciting because I love Tim Drake. So he shows up. He's like, you know, well, there's this gala. All these rich people are going to be there. Do you think he'll strike? And, you know, Batman's like, of course he's going to strike there. That's where they'll all be. He could kill everybody at once. And Tim says, well, they'll cancel the gala, won't they? And this is a great line because Bruce says, he's like, no, because that's the basically the shitty thing about this city. This city wants to die. And I thought that was a really cool line because it's just the elite people just doing what they want, not worrying about the consequences of everybody else, you know? And it's one of the things that makes Gotham such a shithole. So
quite the shithole.
Yeah. So cuts to Bruce Wayne showing up with whatever girl that he got. I don't know how. He doesn't have a ton of money anymore. They show up in the background. He's getting help from Robin. Robin is checking out the boiler room because he thinks that they're going to gas the place. Robin's trying to help him out that way. He's stowing, his utility belt in different places so that Batman can get it. And then, like clockwork, Penguin shows up and he's like, hey, how's everybody doing? I'm here to kill everybody. And Batman's like, this is absurdly predictable. He hits the button, no gas comes out, and Batman, it's basically Bruce Wayne in dress clothes with the cowl on and the utility belt. And it turns out that it wasn't Penguin at all. It was Clayface. So now it's getting really interesting. Why is Clayface doing this? Why is he pretending to be Penguin and setting up the Penguin? Or is the Penguin paying him? What's going on? And Clayface is like, you don't have to worry. Like, I can just bring the building down on everybody and kill everybody that way. So Batman's like, hey, Robin, go get the doors. Robin's running through all the people. Batman tells Clayface, you know, a long time ago, I injected something in your clay. He's like, and I'm going to blow you up unless you save everybody. And at that moment, one of the guys that got beat up, one of the henchmen, picks up his arm and aims at Robin as he's running towards the door. And blam, right through Tim Drake's neck. And it was a really powerful moment. Because then there's some flashbacks to, obviously, Jason Todd.
Yeah.
He's lost a lot of Robins. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to get you out of here. Just hold on. And Robin's kind of like, as he's dying, he's like, you can't, because then everybody will know who you are and you'll ruin everything. The mission will be lost. And he takes him to the hospital, so he could get help. And Batman starts talking to somebody, and then you think that he's talking to Robin, and he's actually in a different hospital room, and he's talking to the Penguin. And it turns out the Penguin is dying.
What?
And yeah, so the Penguin's dying, and everybody's turning their back on him. And that's why he's doing what he was doing. That's why he was using Clayface the way he was using Clayface. And he's like, I'm going to take you down too, Batman. And they get into a little bit of a fight, and then something happens. And this is the nurse's reaction. Now, I redacted the words on the screen so it wouldn't give away. That's why it says nope. I did not want to give away what happens, but something shocking happens. After that, comes back to the Batcave, to the beeping, and then something comes out. You have to pick it up to see what comes out. But this was a very good issue. And then there was a little mini issue, a little side story afterwards, which was, I usually don't like, they did a bunch of Ghostmaker ones and they sucked. This was a really good one involving Catwoman. It's called Two Birds, One Throne. She's at the Iceberg Lounge. I also redacted her words so you wouldn't know what was going on. That's why it says still nope. It was a great issue. I haven't been this excited about Batman since Sean Murphy started doing Batman. So,
well, you mean started doing White Knight, because he did Batman before that.
Well, yeah, since he started doing his White Knight story.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I probably haven't been this excited about Batman. Well, I bet since like New 52.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like Chip Zdarsky a lot.
He killed it. Yeah. His first issue. I've
read a couple versions of Detective since then, but I also really like the guys who've been on the Detective teams. So, but all right, well, that brings us toward the end of the night. So we're going to talk about three things here. One, I'm going to give you my spoiler-free version of Thor, but I'll do that at the end. We'll talk about Umbrella Academy before that. And then right now we're going to talk about Stranger Things. So,
And we have to talk Miss Marvel and probably Miss Marvel. We just do a quick recap of it since we have so many to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. We can do that first. Let's do that first.
Okay. So, Miss Marvel.
I really enjoyed this issue or this episode. Because we finally get to see a little bit more about the clandestine. We get to see Carmen's like abilities, I guess, are going to start happening. And in the books, he's like that clear dude. So, so I'm very curious now to see if like they're going to just call it that all the children of the clandestine are just the Inhumans. And like when one of those people dies, that is the Terrigen Mist that goes and finds them. Cause that's kind of what was going on. But I'd still like them to be mutants, in my opinion. I just really would rather have that. I liked it though. I thought it was good. There's one episode left, right?
Yeah, one episode to me. Now before you react, let me finish the whole sentence. To me, this was the worst episode of the five, but it was a very, very good episode. It just wasn't as good as the previous four. The background story was very good. Getting to see all of that history, finding out about her great grandmother, her journey, finding out that she basically did travel back in time, and she's the one that saved her grandma and helped her grandma see the stars that her grandma was talking about, is very interesting. It was just, it had the feel of a typical like episode before the finale. So I
would agree with you that it is the worst episode of the series. Not that it's bad, but it's also probably one of the most important episodes of the series.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, I think I think so. I just think for a show that was doing all the right things and being fresh, it fell victim to the, you know,
episode before the finale kind of. I think it was, we know when this is coming out. We want people to binge it up to the end, like binge it before and then watch the last one. So let's binge it and kind of go, all right, we had a lot of real big, heavy episodes, and we'll just kind of do a cool down, still heavy, but not as heavy cool down episode before the finale.
Yeah.
I just don't know how they're going to tie it all together so is she going to end up fighting Carmen? Is Red Dagger coming back with her? Like, are we going to see Adam Clandestine? Like, that's really my question.
Red Dagger was cool in the last episode, in the fourth episode. And the one part that was really funny when they were fighting, he was like something about a Muslim superhero. And she's like, well, how do you know? She's like, I could be Canadian. And I thought that was very funny because she is Canadian. So, it's a great show. It's like very fresh. I kind of feel like She-Hulk, if they pull it off, can be very similar, because it has the potential to be very different as well. So
I agree. Overall, I've been enjoying this series, so I'm still in it till the end, and I thought it was good. So, all right. Stranger Things, right?
Okay. Yeah, Stranger Things. Ooh.
Real quick,
because there, I might say something that I don't mean to say.
Oh yeah,
as a spoiler. Yeah. So this could get spoilery, because this is, I'm guessing, we're going to talk about more so the last two episodes more than anything. Yes. So if you haven't watched the last two episodes, you should tune out and come back and watch this later, because we might get into some spoilery things on Stranger Things.
So very specifically, like, everybody, because I know I'm into metal, keeps asking me about the Master of Puppets scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm having dinner with Sora and Brett last night, and Sora and I are talking about this scene, and she's like, wasn't it just awesome that they did that, though? And I was like, as a guitarist who likes metal, like, that is one of those songs that, like, everybody's like, oh man, check out how hard this song is to play, and I can play it. It's actually not that hard to play. The solo is, but the main riff, like the actual song itself, not too bad. So I was just like, like, it's just weird. But that song would have only been like 4 months old in the timeline, if that, because it came out in March of 86, and this had to happen in May, June, maybe July.
It was definitely at least June, because this was their summer, summer break. Yeah.
Yeah. So that song was pretty brand new to them. Do I think it's cool that we got to hear an awesome Metallica song in there? Absolutely. But now it's like one of those things where it's like, oh man, I'm in high school all over again, where everybody just keeps playing just Master of Puppets, because they're like, oh man, I can play this now, check it out.
Yeah.
But I do think that scene was freaking awesome. Oh, we also had this awesome, if Stranger Things would have happened in like the 2000s, what song would have been played? And I'm like, I don't even know if there was a song heavy enough at that point to be played. And she just goes, I got it. Power Man 5000, When Worlds Collide. And I'm like, oh my god,
it's like when worlds collide.
Yeah. And then I then went on to tell her about I then went on to tell her about how I saw them live on their first album's tour when they opened for Kiss, and it was like 45 mm-hmm. minutes of feedback. The only song that you could actually understand the lyrics was called 20 Miles to Texas, 25 to Hell. And it was like, because all of a sudden it'd be like a crash, and then it'd just be like 20 miles to Texas, 25 to Hell. And I'm just like, stop trying to be your brother. Stop it. You stop it right now. But they were the band that opened for Kiss the first time I saw Kiss. So that was pretty nuts for me back in like 97.
Listen, there's a reason why that kid's on his like third try on as a senior in high school, because he's just sitting around playing this music.
So, right. I loved when he held up like Peace of Mind, and he's just like, this is music. He's like,
this is music. It's weird because there's a couple things that were weird about it, even though this is seriously the best season since the first season.
Absolutely.
That guy somehow in one season became like the heart and soul of the whole show.
Yeah.
Like you were just rooting for this guy. And you know, it sucks kind of, you know, the way he went out. But so that was kind of weird, but also cool the way he just kind of came in. And I think that just means it was well written. But Professor Lame-Ass Steve Martin, his death scene was totally stupid. We've hated yeah. this guy for like four seasons now. Like, I wanted to see 11 like freak out and rip him in half or pull his spine out, some Mortal Kombat stuff, something, you know. So kind of lame the way that he went out. But I mean, I thought this was the last season. So I was very surprised when I'm watching this final episode that's, you know, yeah. as long as Endgame, to find out like, oh shit, this is not the end. These guys are coming back.
Well, so. I mean, when they talked about it last time, they were saying how it was going to be a six season thing, and they ended up not being able to do six seasons, so they kind of jammed yeah. four and five together.
Yeah.
Oh, so I gotta show you this. This is awesome. So Sora pointed this out last night. She goes, so we're talking about Eddie, and she goes, did you see the picture on Brian Polito's Facebook about the comparison side by side of him and Eddie from Stranger Things? And I said, no. So here you go. You ready?
Yep. That's funny. That's hilarious.
So, yeah. And I'm like, that's crazy that they found the almost the exact same.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, everything. But I guess like, so she was watching it with Brett, and a couple other people were texting her too. Like, doesn't this look like Brian? Like back in the 80s. So, but
that's pretty funny.
Can I also say that I'm jealous of how much weight Hopper dropped? Like,
oh yeah. Like, how did you do that, man? Cause
Hellboy.
He wasn't that thin in Black Widow.
I did watch that Hellboy actually, and it was yeah. okay. It wasn't terrible. I've seen
story
worse.
That whole story was great. I loved how by the time you got to the end, it was almost like all three of these separate stories were just kind of like intertwined, and they were wrapping up together yep. at the same time. I'm gonna be honest. I thought Steve was gonna die. I told my wife, I was like, I think Steve's going out. Because I thought it would have been lame for them to kill Eddie since he was the new character, because then it would feel like they created a character just to kill him so they didn't have to kill one of the more loved characters. But then by the time it was over, like, he was one of the more loved characters.
Yeah, but they do that in every season. Like, every season yeah. they introduce somebody who ends up dying in the season.
You know? I did tweet to Daniel Warren Johnson the picture of Eddie on top of the RV just shredding. And I said, we need to make this happen. This needs to be Jake for the Murder Falcon movie. We need to make it happen. Like, I know he's not as chubby as what Jake was, but he should be Jake in the Murder Falcon movie. So,
oh, dude, I should be Jake.
But anyway. I mean, this season was awesome. Everything you could have wanted happened in this season. I mean, the connection, the way they connected, you know, the Demogorgons in season one to the Mind Flayer from, you know, the third season to this creepy, most likely a pedophile dude that ended up being number one. Because don't tell me you didn't watch it and go, this guy, I feel like I should check his hard drive, you know? He feels like he was hanging out with maybe the subway guy for a little bit. Anyway.
Gross.
Yeah, I know. But this is it was amazing season.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was the best one since the first one.
I'm giving it Tim's 10-star review.
Wow.
Yeah, it's getting I would give it like Tim's 10-star review.
I think I would give it a 9 out of 10 because I just wanted them to keep Eddie around. Because I was like, dude, he even looks like Eddie Van Halen. Like, so,
besides his ending, I don't think we really gave away too much. That way people can still go watch it. So,
yeah.
And you should go watch it. Why are you watching us? Go watch that.
All right. On to Umbrella Academy.
Now I'm only 4 or 5 episodes in.
What's the last episode you watched?
This is where Harlan had blown up the Sparrows and Victor was like, hey, are you okay? And he's like, why are they calling you Victor now? And then Victor explained why. And I do like that they kind of glossed over that they didn't spend a lot of time
the whole season
on it.
yeah anytime somebody brought it up they were just like you know really?
I'm cutting my hair like this and I'm gonna be called Victor now and I feel like myself and it was like it felt normal because it's Umbrella Academy and everything's you know different and everybody fits in even though they're different so it fit with the show and I like that they didn't just sit there and feel the need to explain to every single person what this is and why this is. It was just, I'm Victor, let's move on, you know?
Yeah, I really thought that it was good that it wasn't a big deal. It was just, hey, I'm Victor now. And they're like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
like, they're like, cool. And it was that quick. Yeah, just that
Klaus was like, I am so happy for you. And it was just like, yeah, cool. Okay. I'm 4 episodes in. I think it's 4.
So the girl who plays the chick who can fly in the Sparrow Academy, that's the real wife of Moon Boy, like in real life. Yeah.
Oh.
So I just thought that was a cool trivia thing. I really enjoyed this season. I've watched the whole thing. You're at a really good point where things are about to get real nuts, like more nuts than they already are. And that's kind of what I like about the show. I like this season better than Dallas. It flowed better. It moved quicker and it was a little more interesting.
I did notice that it is moving quicker and I like that because I thought Dallas could have got to where it was going a lot sooner, at least 2 or 3 episodes sooner than where it did.
Right
Yeah.
And it's you know it's just fun. It's just a good fun show. It reminds me of like of Doom Patrol. It's like a less less gritty Doom Patrol,
which was his inspiration anyways when he
right
when he created this, so that makes sense.
It's his love letter to Grant Morrison. So
yeah, yeah, basically. So I love that Klaus ends up finding Reginald Hargreaves, yeah, and then kind of like bonding with him.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Yeah. It gets cooler. Trust me.
It teaching does. Him how to like not take the pills that they're,
yeah,
you know, that they're forcing you. I've, yeah, also, I liked Victor, or not Victor, Luther's story. I like, yep, Luther's story so far. Really, Rumor is the only one that I'm just kind of like,
yeah, she doesn't really get a good deal. Like, she's just mostly in this season, like, sad because her family doesn't exist anymore. But she had a big, yeah, story arc in Dallas. So, it's not that crazy, but
yeah,
just wait till the ending. Wait till the ending. It's all worth it in the end. Super good. Okay. So, but definitely check out Umbrella Academy on Netflix. Good times. All right. So I just got to do my spoiler free Thor review, right?
All right.
Is that all I'm doing? I
can stay for this.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. I hate spoilers.
So, I enjoyed it. I didn't, mm-hmm, love it. It's, to me, just needed to pick a lane and stay in it. If once you watch it, you might understand that. But I really enjoyed the story. I liked what they did with Gore. I liked what they did with Jane. None of that is spoilers because it's in, yeah, the trailer. Yeah, you know, they're both, yeah, in there. But they really did well adapting the God Butcher storyline mm-hmm, into this universe. They did well adapting the Mighty Thor storyline into this universe. It needed, in my opinion, a little more Valkyrie, just a dash more Jane, and a little less Thor. If that makes sense. Like, he's just, there's a lot. There's just the right amount of Korg. And the goats are awesome.
Sweet.
If there's any takeaway, the goats are the,
it's the goats
for me. I probably gave it a higher score than I should because of the goats. But I just saw the boat, like, and they carry the movie. Yeah. And it was cool. Like, they kind of adapted it where, like, you have to put Stormbreaker in the front of the boat because the boats can already fly, but the goats can't. So in order to go through space, he has to jam Stormbreaker in the front, and it, like, makes a little mini rainbow bridge underneath them, and they just run on the rainbow bridge. So, but they scream, and they're giant, and it's awesome.
Without any cool surprises, don't tell us what they are, but, like, can we expect any cool surprises that maybe we haven't seen in a trailer or anything like that? Is there any cool, like, you know, Captain America getting, you know, the hammer kind of moments?
So they reflect back on other things Thor's been in, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you'll see flashbacks for people. Mm-hmm. And even Selvig has, like, a very quick cameo where he does, like, a video call to Jane. There are two end credit scenes. The first one's more important. There are people that we've never seen before in this. That's pretty much it. Like, it really wasn't, okay, like, super star-studded, loaded with Easter eggs and stuff. I was actually kind of like they kind of, like, weirdly, like, brush off the Guardians very quickly at the beginning of it. Like, it's almost like they had planned to make this whole other movie with him and them in it, and then they're just like,
yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
So I don't know,
the point, like, where, like,
it's weird.
It's hard to have Easter eggs and stuff because they've done so many movies that, like,
right. Oh, you know. So I will tell you, you remember the scene where you were like, well, there's these two, there's this guy at the store, and then there's Korg, and then there's this big empty space, and there's probably something
there. Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking empty space.
damn it.
But there's some really cool, there's some really great moments in this movie. Yeah. It's just like the pacing was so weird because it's like it goes like comedy serious, comedy serious, comedy serious, comedy serious, like, and it just flip flops a little too much for me. But I will say the absolute star of that movie is Christian Bale. His gore is pretty much everything I wanted it to be.
Nice.
Yeah. And I only was a little bit upset about the ending because I thought it was kind of just dumb. But see for yourself. It's enjoyable. It's a good 2 hours of just fun, or slightly less than 2 hours of fun. But definitely check it out. It's worth it.
I have breaking news. We never get to do this.
Breaking news.
Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio will be reprising their roles as Daredevil and Kingpin in the Echo series. Was confirmed.
Oh, so. Okay. I was like, oh. It's just, then you were really like confirmed. I'm like, okay, confirmed. I'm like,
yeah.
How were they not going to be in the Echo series?
Well, I mean, I could see like Kingpin probably being in it, and maybe not Echo, or maybe not Daredevil. But both of them being in it, it's cool. It's cool to like now I don't have to worry and wonder.
Right.
So.
All right. Cool. Well, that was Yeah, well, I guess that's pretty much it. That was my spoiler-free version. If you wanted me to rate it, I'd probably give it like a 5.5 out of 10 because like it's just not, it wasn't great to me. Like a lot of people love Ragnarok and it's in their top three. It's not for me because I don't like super jokey Thor. I'd rather have a super jokey Hercules because that makes more sense. So
Ragnarok is in my top three. My top three list of poop.
It's not my bottom three either though, but it was pretty like I thought, like I think this was better than Black Widow, better than Thor 2,
yeah,
better than Iron Man 3, better than
Iron Man 3,
I can't really put it better than Age of Ultron. It's probably like the top of my bottom tier at this point.
Okay.
But like, I'm the weird guy that this phase of stuff that's come out, I loved Eternals and Shang-Chi, and everybody was like, those movies suck. I was like,
Eternals was okay. Shang-Chi, I loved. I thought Shang-Chi was awesome. So,
but I didn't like Black Widow. I was okay on Spider-Man, but I think it was the overhypedness of it.
Spider-Man is the greatest MCU movie that's ever existed.
Still like ever for me. Still mid-tier.
Ever.
Anyway, thanks guys for watching and hanging out. And hopefully we will be back to our regular scheduled program. Remember to
we should be back
here. Share all kinds of stuff. Subscribe, comments,
tell your friends,
subscribe,
all of it.
Yes. Show us off to your friends. We are Pittsburgh's most mediocre podcast, after all.
We might have to start a push for like 200 subscribers. We're over the 130 mark, right?
What are we now? Like
131? Yeah.
Holy shit.
Is that what it is?
Crazy.
That's a lot. Let me see if I can find it. I thought that's what it was. Subscribe, view channel.
All right.
131.
Our goal for you guys to help us with is to get to 200 viewers, 200 subscribers by the end of the year.
Oh yeah,
I think that's easy to ask because that's like you basically got like 5.5 months, and that's like two per person, 1.5 per person. So I think you can find 1.5 friends that may like our show and push it out. So
do it. Now we gotta figure. We'll talk. We'll figure out like what we're gonna give away.
For 200. Yeah, I will figure out something cool. I might pull something from my personal stash. I might try to get something from one of our guests that would be awesome. Yeah. or find something cool that a future guest can come. Also, if there's anybody that you guys are interested in having us come to the show or come on the show, let us know. Or if you already know them or follow them on Twitter, just tell them about the show or so any other social medias, and maybe they will follow us. Let's rock this. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.
We're back, baby.